Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Here's a part of my life that I worry about. My son is 14, my oldest. My youngest is 10. But my oldest is 14. And once in a while, he will get rejected. I could handle it. I could help him through it. I could get him, I could encourage him. I could tell him it's part of life. And, you know, I'm there for him. He still has a place to live. He goes to school. I could help him. My fear is when he gets older and I can't help him. There's going to come a point when my son and all of our children, and I might be wrong about this, but where they're going to get rejected, and there's only so much I can do. There's going to be, eventually the rejection is going to have to, he is going to have to deal with the rejection, which is going to be inevitable in his life, in all of our lives, in some way, or shape, or form. They're going to have to be able to cope with it without me being there, because one day I'm going to be dead, one day his mother's going to be dead, and he's going to have to cope with that rejection on his own. And even when he gets to be older, I'm not going to be able to help him as much as he gets older. He's going to have to kind of deal with rejection on his own. And I think this is a great learning lesson. Anybody who's listening, who have kids in particular, you're going to have to deal with your kids' rejections and how they're going to have to cope with them. And this is why I think this has been a very valuable discussion we've had for the last few weeks with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. She is a marriage and family therapist, registered intern who sees clients and has nearly completed her work on becoming a licensed therapist.
God willing, my hours have been accepted by the BBS, and I just have to take and pass 2 board exams.
Oh, that's great. Well, congratulations. I know
Thank
you're going to
you.
Do very well. You're doing terrific. So let's talk about rejection. We've been going through,
yes.
We're going to run through real quickly, really like in the next one minute about the key facts that we've learned about rejection.
Well, first of all, the definition of rejection that I'm using is non-acceptance accompanied by negative attitudes and hurtful words or actions. Mm-hmm. And the following rejection facts come from Guy Winch's book, Emotional First Aid, Healing Rejection, Guilt, Failure, and Other Everyday Hurts. It was published in 2014. So, number one, the same neural pathways in our brains that register physical pain also register rejection. Mm-hmm. 2, it is easier to forget physical pain than it is to forget the pain of rejection. And similarly, it is easier to recover from physical abuse than it is to recover from verbal or psychological abuse.
I still find that fascinating. Okay.
3, because physical pain and rejection use the same neural pathways in the brain, Tylenol can reduce the emotional pain of rejection, according to some studies. 4, it is easier to relive or re-experience social pain, such as being rejected in a social setting, than it is to relive or re-experience physical pain.
Okay, just real quickly, I know we have a couple more to catch up where we're at. That I understood all the first three real easy, but it's easier to relive or re-experience a social pain. In other words, public humiliation?
Public or, where there are other witnesses.
Who see your rejection.
Yes.
Okay.
That makes it a lot harder. If it's a group of friends, if it's the rest of the family members.
Uh-huh.
If it's in a classroom, at work,
yeah.
Or in social media, which you brought up, mm-hmm. Facebook and Instagram mm-hmm. and Twitter. Oh, what a terrible place
yes.
to get rejected.
Yes.
So people can recall and actually relive those experiences much more easily than, say, when they broke a bone.
And as you say, in our techno world that we live in, that rejection is stuck there for all time. That sometimes, unfortunately, you're forced to relive it.
Yes,
I mean, it's kind of
magnified.
Unfortunate. I could go back and look at the times I've been rejected, and I could look online and say, oh, that person said this, and it's always there.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate in some ways. But
yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
Then number 5, rejection can significantly damage and even destroy self-esteem
mm-hmm.
because when other people devalue us through rejection, we tend to devalue ourselves. And number 6, rejection undermines our need to belong. It can isolate us even from people who are not rejecting us. And you brought up in the last show, including people who are trying to help us.
Yeah.
Therapists experience that a lot. Yeah. Rejected people come in and they start rejecting everything.
Because in your head, all you're thinking about is the rejection. Yeah. All you're thinking about is that memory that is seared in your brain. You know, you can't get rid of a memory. And again, I'm going to, one last time, Inside Out, Pixar's movie, has to see it, because how memories get seared in your brain, particularly memories of negative or very positive memories that stay with us over the course of our lives. And one of rejection stays seared in your mind forever, really.
Yeah, it stays a long, long time. Yeah. Now, new territory today, number 7, rejection can trigger anger and aggression, causing the rejected individual to vent on innocent parties. Mm-hmm. Think of these shooters.
Yeah.
Think of this South African fellow. Mm-hmm. Rejection and aggression have led to school shootings and other acts of seemingly senseless violence.
Boy, yeah, it sure has.
This is a huge issue. I think they've done psychological profiling of all of these shooters and mass murderers and, you know, terrorists. And if you examine their lives, I'm 99.9% certain you're going to find a very big root of rejection in their lives that have caused them now to react with anger and aggression against innocent parties.
Boy, that is so. And of course, we've been hearing about that for a long time, but there's a lot of people who just refuse to acknowledge that and will use the word that we've talked about in other shows. Oh, that person's just crazy. He's just, and you know, and I mean, he did this and that, and that's probably, perhaps, I don't know if it's true or not, but the root of it could be the way in which this person was rejected. We have a commercial break. We're continuing our discussion with rejection with Didi Hansen from The Growing Place. The Growing Place is a professional counseling, life coaching, and education center. Their office is located on East Avenue. And highly recommended by everybody who goes there. I don't say everybody, but certainly most anybody I know that's gone there. If you want to give Gidi or another counselor there a call, 588-0448, 588-0448. We'll be back, continuing our discussion on rejection right after this. I love our new music, too.
They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up when
Yeah, I do love that new music. It is very upbeat, and it draws me in a little bit. We're talking about rejection with Didi Hansen, a registered family therapist intern. You get that right? Marriage and family therapist registered intern. She is just so close to being licensed. God willing.
God willing.
Yeah. So when it happens, when will the date be?
I haven't picked a date yet. I have a ton of studying to do.
Uh-huh.
But I hope to be licensed by God's grace this year, 2015.
And you're already seeing clients.
Oh, yes.
But you've been seeing clients now for the last couple of years.
I have to
get
the 3,000 hours to in order to be able to sit for the exams.
Okay. Well, I'm certain you're not going to be rejected in your efforts.
Oh, God willing.
So let's move on down the line. We're almost done with our rejection facts. There are 10 of them. I think we're on number 8.
We just finished number 7 about the anger and the aggression. And just a side note, you know, depression oftentimes is a cover-up emotion for anger and depression, aggression.
Uh-huh.
So when a person is working through depression, they usually get in touch with the surges of anger that they feel. But instead of going out and shooting somebody, if we work through the anger, we'll come to the grief, the sorrow, and the loss, which is the deeper emotions.
Yeah.
So just because someone's been rejected, it doesn't justify their going out and shooting people.
Right.
But we have found that people who do that are people who have been rejected.
Very good. Okay.
So number 8, rejection can temporarily lower an individual's IQ.
Hmm.
It can cloud or even block thought processes.
Now, that's fascinating. I thought an IQ is an IQ, and it's like that number stays with you forever.
No. IQs fluctuate according to your emotional state.
No kidding.
Because the brain, you know, for the brain to operate properly, it can be going in an irrational mode or an emotional mode, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But because of the survival mechanisms that are hardwired into us, emotions can override rational thought.
Okay.
And that's what the adrenaline rush is about. That's what helps you to run away from the bad guy. That's what warns you don't get in the elevator with that guy. You have no rational reason for that, but your emotions are telling you not to.
There was a key word in this. Rejection can temporarily lower an individual's
temporarily,
IQ.
Temporarily, not definitely.
Okay.
But also, it could be definite if you stay in that mode.
Right. And it could cloud or even block thought processes.
Yes. So if you're on the job, you just got fired, and you're told at the end of the day you need to pack everything up and leave, mm-hmm. you're going to have a very difficult time concentrating on your work for mm-hmm. the rest of that day.
Right.
You're going to have a very, very difficult time with that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean when I say it can block the thought processes.
Okay. That takes us to number 9.
And then because the thought processes get blocked, rejection then has the freedom to act irrationally and not respond to reason. So, for instance, somebody gets rejected somewhere and comes home and begins to vent on the children
mm-hmm.
or vent on the wife or the husband
yeah.
or vent on the guy serving the fast food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other person is like, this doesn't make sense. Why are you behaving this way?
And I think when you run into somebody like that, it's important to note that they're going through something that they're not sharing with you.
Yes. And you don't have to take it personally.
And so the best thing to do is maybe, so just briefly, let's switch the focus. What should a person who confronts somebody like that, let's say it's a loved one, let's not say it's just some rash, just say, you know, some guy that you're
walking down the street.
It's somebody you love.
Yeah.
And somebody is acting in a way that is just the irrational, and, you know, how should that person confront the person?
What I would say to a loved one is, wow, sounds like you're going through something right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with you? Not in an accusatory or confronting way, mm-hmm. but in an invitational way. Like, I'm here for you if you want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Is it better if I just leave you alone now, or do you want to talk?
You know what I find from talking to you is that these type of things involve a lot of work and a lot of thought. It's not just reacting to the situation you're in. There needs to actually be, well, I guess what the monks would call, discernment.
Yes.
There needs to be discernment in these personal relationships, in giving it real thought and how you want to progress forward and not just act impulsively.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And Rejection is huge. Rejection leads to a sense of failure.
Uh-huh.
And many, many males, American males that I have mm-hmm. known in our culture, they suffer, from my experience and viewpoint, this is not clinical, this is not research, it's just my observation, they have a huge failure button,
mm-hmm.
which makes it very difficult to talk to them about any kind of improvement, because the minute you mention improvement, they feel rejected.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like, well, you're telling me everything I've done though so far is just no good, and now I'm going to stop listening to you, and the rational thought has been
everything is part and parcel here, because that reminds us of another discussion we had about ants, automatic negative thoughts.
Exactly.
Something bad happened. I'm jumping to a conclusion, making it much bigger than it really is.
Exactly.
And I'm sure we do that with rejection, but rejection's a little bigger deal. I mean,
rejection is a huge deal. Ants are maybe a response to rejection,
mm-hmm.
but rejection itself is a very huge deal.
We should have another segment before we end this for this day. So there's time enough for me to ask. We're saying from the get-go, rejection is non-acceptance with an attitude, with hurtful words.
Yes.
Would you define rejection as somebody who politely tells you, we've got a commercial break, and then we have one last segment. Is rejection, we'll take a break.
Okay.
I'll be able to squeeze this in the next 20 seconds. Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place is my guest. We'll finish up my question once I'm able to formulate it, and then we'll wrap up the show after this break. Rejection. We all suffer from it. We all face it. How we deal with it. We'll be talking about that next week, but we'll be right back. Finish up today's show after this short break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
We're talking about rejection with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. I think I figured out the question. We're down to just one last bullet point on rejection facts. And then next week, we're going to discuss the cures for rejection, how we can cope with them better. Cope with rejection. But I wanted to make sure I fully understood the definition, and then it goes back to the very beginning when we did this two Wednesdays ago. Non-acceptance accompanied by negative attitudes and hurtful words of action. I'll take somewhat issue. I mean, even if you're rejected in a kind, polite, decent way, that's still a rejection, though, isn't it?
It is. It can be seen that way. Again, this is, you know, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. The perceiver can magnify rejection mm-hmm. in the way they receive it.
Okay.
But there's definitely a difference between somebody who with kindness and graciousness says, you know, I don't have time for this relationship
yeah.
or I really do not want to invest in this.
Yeah.
And when you're going to do that, it's nice to objectify it. Not talking about the person, I'm talking about the relationship.
Yeah. As opposed to, boy, you know, we're going to break up because you're fat and you're ugly and I don't like
exactly.
your hairstyle.
And
you're a bad kisser on top of it.
Yeah.
That's rejection with
that's
attitude.
That's really, really damaging.
Yeah. Okay.
That's really, really damaging.
Well, then we're down to our final bullet point here. And then,
that effective treatments exist for overcoming rejection. See your therapist. I really can't speak to this in terms of cures
mm-hmm.
or treatments or interventions on the air because it's a complicated issue.
Mm-hmm.
However, next week, I do want to talk about how an individual, without going to a therapist, can begin to flip it over by seeking the upside of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be presenting it, God willing, from a Christian viewpoint. So mm-hmm. we'll be bringing the Bible into it, people in the Bible who were rejected, and how they dealt with it and how God brought so much good out of it.
Yeah, we talked about it last Wednesday or the first Wednesday we started doing this was Romans 8, verse 28.
Yes.
And then to me, it is the definitive scripture in the Bible. For me, it's my favorite because it provides such hope. It
yes.
provides such hope for those of us who are Christians. And I always think about the great analogy of how, you know, you take a piece of steel and you throw it in the ocean, it just sinks. You take another piece of steel and you throw it in the ocean and it stinks. And another, it sinks and it sinks. And you do all these big pieces of steel into the ocean and they sink. But when the master shipbuilder looks down and takes all of those pieces and assembles them together, the master shipbuilder creates this beautiful ship.
Yes.
And that's the analogy I like to think about a lot when something bad happens in life, is that somehow he's going to take all of these and make things good to those. The condition,
yes.
you got to love him in yes. order to get that blessing.
You do. You certainly do.
Yeah.
And it's good to love the loved one, you know, the person who is going through rejection. There are ways we can minister to that person. You know, let's say the little six-year-old comes home from school and says, Daddy, my best friend doesn't want to be my friend anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's a hard one, but that's a life lesson. If a child can learn from that age how to deal with rejection.
Well, you know, one of the things about that, and that's an interesting one, and I hope, because that's a great, because I'm trying to remember the things I said when my sons came home at that age and said that, and sometimes they still do, and I think I probably did it wrong. I think I probably said something like, oh, that kid's no good anyway. You don't want to be with that kid anyway. His parents are lousy, and this or that. You know, you don't want to be around him anyway.
Yeah.
And that's probably not the way to help your son or daughter deal with rejection. I'm sure there's a better way. And that's almost a whole class right there.
Yeah.
So much of this I always see, and every time we talk, I'm always viewing everything from the the perspective of my children and how they're going to have to deal with these things in their life. Because, yeah, hell, my life is over with. Nobody cares about me anyway. I'm done.
Oh,
you know?
That's not true.
You know, I'm just joking. But,
I just wanted to, in the moments that remain,
please do,
talk about our Courageous Living series at the Growing Place. They're on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., but there are no classes on holiday weekends, such as the one coming up in July. Mm-hmm. So July 18th, we're going to have Escaping the Guilt Trap by Dr. Les Parrott from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., and that's a Saturday. August 1st, Shame Off You, Made in the Image of God with Dr. David Jenkins. And August 15th, from morning to morning, that's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G to M-O-R-N-I-N-G, mm-hmm. and that's Dealing with Grief and Loss with Dr. Linda Mintel. These are from the DVDs from the American Association of Christian Counseling, and we have Heather Doris, who is a certified life coach, on hand to lead a discussion after each DVD.
Okay, and you can find out all of those, because it's hard to memorize all of that, but the easiest thing to do is go to the website, like everybody does these days, tgplace.com, tgplace.com for the DVD video series, and it takes place Saturdays, 10 o'clock to 11:30. The DVD lasts for about how long?
About an hour.
And then after
a little
that,
under an hour, and then there's a discussion.
An open discussion.
Yeah.
And people could share their thoughts. And of course, you could go off privately and talk to a counselor and
you
maybe set something up.
You can, and make an appointment if you have a deeper issue you need to discuss. But there's a lot of information in these DVDs.
You know, plus it's kind of nice to get out and do something once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, do something positive, you know.
Yeah,
so
something for yourself.
Yeah, and you know, and there is something to be said, I think, you know, when you see other people that have similar problems. The old standby I always lean on, misery loves company. There is something sort of makes you feel a little better about yourself, knowing that you're not the only one that's in this pit. If there's other people in here that are suffering too, you think, well, maybe I'm not that unusual.
That's the need to belong.
Uh-huh.
That's the social need to belong. You realize I belong to this group. I'm not in this alone.
Next week, Gidi Hansen and I are going to discuss. Well, she's going to discuss, I'm just going to ask questions and listen, discuss ways treatments exist for overcoming rejection.
Well, actually, we're not going to talk about treatments. We're just going to talk about the upside of rejection.
The upside of it. Okay. Oh, the upside of rejection. Okay.
Yes.
There's something that good can come out of it.
Exactly.
Gidi, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. The Growing Place, 588-0448. Thanks for listening so long, everybody.